So tonight, in place of Mother Frances Cabrini, we have someone that probably none of you have heard of, and who I myself had not heard of. I'll spell the name. Anasuya. For those of you who write things down, A-N-A-S-U-Y-A is the first name. A-N-A-S-U-Y-A. Anasuya, last name Devi, D-E-V-I, Anasuya Devi. She was born in 1923 in a small village in India. We've talked in here, some of you perhaps were here when we talked about Amichi and her extraordinary birth and development. This is a woman pretty much like Amichi. She has a, and if you're interested in information about her, she's all over the internet. So there've been a number of books written about her already. She's another one of these cases that was highly documented. So it's not like there's a lot of mythology involved or legend involved. Most of her life was documented by people who were present. We in the West are we in the West find it difficult to comprehend, and I'm not speaking of us necessarily in this room, but just Western people find a little bit of difficulty comprehending the conception other than that of Christ, that whatever ultimate reality is, it can assume a human form. And the East is full of examples of such beings. And, in Buddhism, there's a concept of a bodhisattva, and who's like a divine being taking on a human form. In the cases like Jesus, Muhammad, and Moses, they're beings who are born, who are in some sense fully enlightened already, but they have to recapitulate in some way what they already know in order to get to the point where they can be their full self. As we know, it took Jesus didn't start teaching until he was 33. Number of other cases, they had to spend a number of years before they could become what they really were, so to speak. That's one kind of incarnation, the kind that has to, quite quickly usually, but has to quickly relearn what they brought in with them so they can teach. Buddha himself had to search for quite a number of years for his supreme enlightenment, after which he then taught extensively all over India. But he wasn't born teaching. So that's one kind of divine incarnation where the being coming in has to go through a process of learning what they've already learned before. There's another kind of incarnation which is much more rare in the history of religions, and that's where it's the name for it is avatar, A-V-A-T-A-R. I wouldn't suggest looking for that on the internet because you'll find a lot of garbage. Because currently on the planet, the last I was told, there are 295 people claiming to be avatars. So it talks cheap. But what the classical conception of an avatar is a being who takes birth, who's fully realized, or if you like, totally enlightened, whatever phrase you want to use for it, who's born that way. They don't have to go through a process of learning. They're born already, like the Buddha took X number of years to get to where he was. an avatar is there at birth. They go through no learning process. They don't study books. They don't study texts. They don't have teachers. They're just born and they start doing it. This Anasura Devi is one of those. Amichi is another one of those. They both lived, they're contemporaries. Although Anasura Devi passed away in 1987, she was born in 1923. She's not known throughout India even, because she spent almost her entire life in her own little village. And she's virtually unknown in the West. But she is known on the internet. So you can, there's a lot of information. There have been several biographies written about her, which are quite fascinating because, as I said, she's a documented case. There's no theorizing about her, fantasizing about her claims. She did this, she did this, she did this. You know, it's all documented. As in many such cases, prior to her birth, both her mother and father had incredible visions of various gods and goddesses and lights. So they knew something was up. She was born of a very high Brahmin family. You all heard of the caste system in India, which Gandhi despised. She too despised, but she was born into a very high Brahmin family. Didn't lack for anything. When she was born, she did not cry. There's no slapping her on the bottom and getting the cry to happen. There's no crying. She didn't seek any food. So she only ate when her mother actually put her tit in her little mouth. Other than that, she was quite fine. Didn't desire or apparently acquire any nourishment. But her mother being a mother, you know, you will eat. So she ate when it was presented to her. She was going at 6 months old. She was already going into a state known as samadhi, which is the highest meditative state of humanly possible. It's a state in which it's difficult to put into words, but it's a state in which the being has become one with everything, including the things that you and I aren't even aware of. The invisible universe, just merging oneself with that. At 6 years old, she was going into that state spontaneously. Her parents had no idea what was happening. They thought there was something wrong with her. Also, at a young age, when she did, they started her on solid foods. They would give her these solid foods, and they'd go in solid, and they'd come out solid, undigested. Like a piece of broccoli would go in the mouth, and a piece of broccoli would come out the other end. And so they thought there was some serious medical problem going on here. So they brought in a local, what we might call a shaman, who put some poisonous herbs around her neck, which is supposed to cure this condition. Very poisonous herbs around her neck, but which have been known to cure such conditions. And she's 6 months old, so he's putting these herbs around her neck, poisonous. She rips them off her neck, eats them with absolutely no ill effect, and says, how could anything harm someone who's not destined to die? 6 months old here. Oh, 6 years, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was when she was, I think 6 months is what it actually was. 6 years gets more. I do want to tell you some things here about herself.